Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, around the world, but also to welcome to the show four talented, exciting, humorous personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right. We welcome back with great joy that outstanding comedian and great exponent of this game, Paul Merton, and seated beside him, the veteran player of this game who's contributed so much with his erudition and wit over the years, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have, welcome back after some absence, the man I call the voice of Scottish radio, a great humorist himself, that is Fred Macaulay. And seated beside Fred, somebody who's never played the game before, a lovely comedy actress and comedian, that is Lynn Ferguson. Please welcome all four of them. Thank you. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds is up. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance, a venue here at the during the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, and we have an excited Fringe audience here. Yes. As we start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, oh, I'm very apt subject to begin the show. At the Edinburgh Festival. Tell us something about that subject in this game, Paul, starting now.
At the Edinburgh Festival in the month of August is one of the most exciting places you can be on the planet Earth. It's fantastic. You walk down the street, you see people doing all kinds of things. Jugglers, mime artists, comedians, stand-ups. All types of different people are out there doing marvellous things in the streets of Edinburgh.
Fred McCall, his challenge.
Edinburgh, repeated.
Edmund's on the card, Fred. You're allowed to repeat the words on the card.
So sorry, that's
I know
a fundamental
it's all right,
error.
A while since
my
you
apologies.
Played the game. He did repeat something else, but it's too late now. I'm sorry. So, Paul gets a point for an incorrect challenge. He keeps the subject. There are 45 seconds still available at the Edinburgh Festival, starting now.
For the first time, I came here in 1980, and I saw some dreadful shows put on together by medical students and other kinds of people learning their...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you did have other
did
people
I?
Before,
yeah.
Yes. People in the streets, the stilts.
You're
and,
quite
yes.
right.
Yes, I did, yeah.
Best chairman we got.
So, Clement, a correct challenge, a point to you. 35 seconds still available at the Edinburgh Festival starting now.
I went in for a competition in which you had to say which was the most important city in Scotland. And they gave Bristol, Brighton, Market Harborough and Edinburgh, for which I plumped and was allowed to spend 112 pence or more if I had a mobile telephone. I said telephone before.
Paul, you were the first to challenge.
Repetition of telephone.
Your observation is amazing.
Listened.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct challenge, Paul. Another point to you. 13 seconds at the Edinburgh Festival, starting now.
The great peoples of the world unite around this magnificent city, and they say to each other, "We have not seen such spectacle. This is fantastic. It's better than Peterborough." And they're right.
Whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was, of course, Paul Merton, who's now in the lead at the end of that round. Lynn Ferguson, will you begin the next round?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely one for you, I'm sure. My family, Tartan. Will you tell us something about your family, Tartan, Lynn, in this game, starting now?
Well, I don't mean to boast, but actually, in my family, we have several different varieties of tartan. There's ancient, there's traditional, there's not so traditional. I totally did this thing of going, I've hesitated, now I've completely screwed up, and I've repeated it again.
And Paul, you challenge first.
Repetition of theirs.
Theirs, yes.
Theirs? Well, was that the only one that I've repeated?
Well, that's enough, darling, for you to get the point. Anyway, Paul, correct challenge. 45 seconds. Will you tell us something about My Family Tartan, starting now?
My Family Tartan is a magnificent...
Fred, challenge.
Deviation. You can't have a tartan.
Well, actually, like can't I have a tart?
We don't know. I mean, he may have some Scottish ancestors somewhere way back in his
I've got a lot of Irish ancestors.
He's got Irish ancestors, and they have sort of... they have kilts anywhere. I don't know whether it's called tartans over there. No, it's a Scottish word, isn't it? Right.
It's a tough one to make a decision.
It's a mega tough one to make a decision.
Bearing in mind where you are.
As Paul is a very generous player of this game, and you haven't played it quite so much, I think I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say, Fred, you take over the subject, and I'm sure Paul will understand, and I'll try and redress the balance sometime. He doesn't understand, oh, the pity. Right. 40 seconds, Fred, on my family tartan, starting now.
One.
Paul challenge.
I just wanted to point out I'm not that generous.
Well, all I can say is you have been in the past, but as they enjoyed your interruption then, Paul, you get a bonus point for that. But, Fred, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject. My family tartan, 39 seconds, starting now.
The wonderful thing about the tartan is that it doesn't really matter what country you're from or what your surname is, you're more than likely to have one. It doesn't occur to people who visit from Poland, Lewandowski, the Szyszynskis, and people of such ilks who come to Scotland, pop into the local shop and say, is there any chance you have a kilt in my tartan? And the shopkeeper will say, why, it's your lucky day, sir. We do indeed. The Lewandowski-Szyszynski tartan is...
Poor chance.
It was the repetition of two Polish surnames.
Well spotted.
I think that's fair.
All the Polish surnames, I put two and repeat them.
Yes. I know. Yeah, I wasn't sure you did repeat the same ones, but you did. But Paul, I think you did repeat them, so you have 9 seconds to tell us something about my family tartan, starting now.
My family tartan has a pride of place in the home. Up on the wall, there is the kilt displayed for all the visitors to come. And they say, where did you get this?
On this occasion, Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, so he's increased his lead at the end of that round. Clement Freud, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, we're keeping the Scottish mood up here. This one is Scottish heather. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Scottish heather, unlike Paul McCartney's ex-wife, Heather, who was, of course, English, come from Kinlochbervie, but has also been to West Lochtarbert, where heather has a particular reputation for being extremely available on Tuesday evenings. The strange thing is that any other day of the week, you're going to find it extremely difficult to see heather as anything but the milkmaid who distributes cream and single yogurt to the houses around where she lives and has her shop. The interesting thing about sitting next...
You challenged.
I haven't understood a word of it. I've not no challenge. I just wanted to point out I hadn't understood a word of it.
Well, you could
deviation.
Have a deviation from Scottish heather.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, even though I didn't understand much of it either, I think heather kept coming into
she
it.
She did, didn't she?
So I think we must give him the benefit of the doubt and say heather was there, featured quite strongly throughout your diatribe, which nobody understood. And I'll be listening to the recording and see if I can understand any better then. But Sir Clement, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. 23 seconds are still available. Scottish heather starting now.
Scottish heather is also something that grows on Scottish moors, especially those that have heather all over them, up and down the hills. I have an island home on Isla, which I bought in 1962, where there is Scottish heather as big as you can.
Lynn, you challenged.
Did I?
Yes.
Did he repeat something? What did I repeat?
No, he hesitated.
He hesitated.
Yes.
But he did repeat his hesitation.
Did he? He kind of... Do you know, I was just kind of enjoying it. Do I have to really have interrupted?
No.
Okay.
No, he did hesitate.
He hesitated.
And I always do. Yes. But,
while you're debating this hesitation, could I ask Clement, Heather at Kinlochbervie, you don't have her actual address, do you? Milkmaid, you say.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you later. Mm.
Anyway, so Lynn, you very cleverly managed to get in there with 1 second to go.
That was fantastic.
Yes. obviously listening very acutely there.
I suddenly feel like everybody's younger sister. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, well, I'd love to have you as my younger sister anytime, darling. And I've almost Scottish blood. I feel very kin to you. All right, so 1 second.
Okay.
On Scottish Heather Lynn, starting now.
It's very jaggy.
Right. At the end of that round, Lynn Ferguson was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And the other one in the round, she's now on 2. And she's equal with Clement Freud and Fred Macaulay. Paul Merton is still in the lead. And Fred, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is the credit crunch. Tell us something about that boring subject in this game, starting now.
I think it's a very exciting subject in the old adage that neither a borrower nor a lender be could be more apt in this day and age than it was when my grandfather used to use it and it actually finished his career in the bank. I used to be an accountant, and I know that for every credit there has to be a debit, and I'm just wondering where the debit crunch might be.
Lynn, you've challenged.
Didn't he say debit?
He did say debit.
Times.
Well, listen, my love, yes.
I see.
Repeated debit, so you've got
did.
A correct challenge. You've got a point
Fantastic.
For that. And you take over the subject. 37 seconds available. The credit crunch starting now.
It's a permanent situation in my house. We never have enough credit to do anything apart from buy.
Paul, challenge.
There's a bit of hesitation.
There's a definite hesitation. Oh. You actually said
Did I? No. That's repetition. No. That was repetition. But actually, that is a Scottish word for thinking. And, you know, I've had all this stuff. You know, like the French did all that thing about the frongly and they don't like it and all the people doing their croissant and things. Well, in Scotland, we have the same thing where the English people come up here and they take away our ears and our thinking and our squeaks and our scogies and our squish.
You're making a great case for it. And the audience enjoyed it.
Thank you.
But I'm sorry, I can't accept it.
Oh, Nicola.
But I will give you a bonus point for the opening remark when you said that's a Scottish word.
Okay.
A bonus point to Lynn. Correct challenge to Paul. Another point there. The credit crunch, Paul. 28 seconds available, starting now.
At the end of television programmes, you often see the credits crunched up so they can show an advert for the next programme coming on. I think this is rather insulting to the people who have worked on such extravaganzas that are shown on our cathode ray tubes on a Saturday night. Why should we be subjected to not being able to see exactly who was the producer of Anton Deck's glorious takeaway or whatever rubbish they're doing at the moment? I want to find out the director was Jim Chisholm.
Clement Chisholm.
Chisholm.
Sorry, Clement, I didn't hear.
Repetition of director.
No, it was producer before.
Producer and director.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
I don't think so. I think it was producer.
It's me against the audience.
Benefit of the doubt to Paul and tell him he has 3 seconds on the credit crunch starting now.
If you take the word credit...
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of word.
No, he didn't say it. I just
I've
did a mental
I've got to get
recall.
One of these.
A bonus point to Clement because we enjoyed his interruption. Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. And there's 1 second, Paul, on the credit crunch starting now.
15 pence in my pocket!
So, Paul Merton was then speaking, so this will win, gain that extra point. He's increased his lead ahead of Lynn Ferguson in second place, Clement Freud and Fred Macaulay in that order. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin again. The subject is the universe. Tell us something about that comprehensive word in this game, starting now.
The universe is expanding all the time, so within the course of a minute, if I describe the universe, it will not be an accurate description because in the 60 seconds that would have lapsed, if indeed I go for that long, it would have incredibly got bigger. The universe, as people understand it today, starts at Stockport and ends in Peterborough. And it's a wonderful world to look at. If you wander between those two towns, you will see all kinds of constellations in the sky, stars and meteorites and things coming to...
Clement, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Peterborough's a city.
You're quite right, it is a city, yes, it has its cathedral. So Clement, well listened and cleverly got in there with 31 seconds on the
universe. He let me go for some time as well, didn't he?
I know, yes. I think he was going for something else, and he suddenly quickly did a call. Anyway, the universe is with you, Clement. 31 seconds, starting now.
There are people who think that the universe is short for university or universal. They are quite wrong. The university...
Fred, you challenge first.
Yeah, I'm not altogether sure why, but I saw a look in Clement's face that suggested something had gone wrong. I'm going to guess at repetition of university.
Yeah. No, it was a pause. 22 seconds, Fred. The universe with you, starting now.
There's a pub in Lanarkshire called The Universe, and if you go in there late on a Friday...
Paul, challenge.
I don't believe there is. I saw a look of desperation across your eyes when you realised you had the subject and then you made up this pub. Who's got a Google? Let's Google it now. Let's find out.
Is there a pub?
I cannot verify that there is a pub in Manchester. I think there's one in Edinburgh called the World's End.
There's and there's one in the down in the dock area of London too, called the World's End, but not the universe. So, Fred, your honesty means you have lost the subject. Paul's got another point, and he's got 17 seconds on the universe starting now.
One of my favourite pubs is the Universe. It's wonderful. You go in there, bar snacks, dartboard, jukebox playing, a lovely barmaid there. Oh, it's wonderful. Do you know, the thing I love about...
Lynn, you challenged.
Did you repeat wonderful?
He did repeat wonderful, yes. Well, listen, Lynn, very quick on the buzzer there. And you've got 6 seconds. You tell us something about the universe starting now.
There's a cafe in Cumberland.
Clement, challenge.
Was that not hesitation?
No.
Sounded from here.
You don't sound hesitation. It's silence.
It sounded like.
It was... It was breathing. I was breathing.
He's trying it on. Don't worry.
Don't try it on.
No, this is news again. So, no, an incorrect challenge. You get a point for that.
Oh, I do. Thank you. Try it on again.
And you have 5 seconds on the universe starting now.
There's a cafe in Cumbernauld called The Universe. It sells buns and tea and...
So Lynn Ferguson was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's creeping up on our leader, Paul Merton, and she's ahead of Clement Freud and Fred McCauley in that order. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject we'd like you to start with is A Man After My Own Heart. Take that subject, go any way you wish, 60 seconds available, starting now.
I met a man who was after my own heart and said, "Are you also after my liver, kidneys, lights, feet, hands, stomach, appendix, throat, nostrils, eyes, ears?" He said, no, it is simply...
It's curious this man didn't ask for your ears.
It was Paul who buzzed in that long pause.
Oh, good.
Yes, 38 seconds. For you, Paul, on A Man After My Own Heart, starting now.
When I look at this panel in front of me, I see Fred and Lynn and Nicholas and Clement, and I can say that three of them are a man after my own heart, because I enjoy people who have longevity. They start their careers and they don't stop. They walk onto stages, or they open restaurants or run nightclubs or become Liberal MPs. All these things are open to each one of the panellists here, and I wonder today, is this spirit what we want in Britain? Yes, it is. Let's march. Let's come out to this venue. Walk down to... What happened then?
Clement challenged you.
Did he? Oh.
Clement, what's your
repetition of Let's.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
And the only reason I say oh when the audience is going is because they're enjoying it so much. You were leading the march. And Clement's got in...
Do you think if people are enjoying it, one shouldn't press mention?
Clement, you have shown sportsmanship and discretion on occasions and
no,
allowed others to go.
Not me.
You're mixing him up with somebody else.
Right. But anyway, the subject is A Man After My Own Heart. Clement, there are 11 seconds starting now.
For real enjoyment, there's nothing better than I can tell you that 4 minutes at Plymouth Argyle Football Club is so hilarious. Such great fun.
Lynn, you've challenged.
Is that a deviation?
It is a definite deviation.
You shouldn't buzz if somebody's making enjoyable. It's just been established.
I, for one, can't hear enough about Plymouth Argyle. It gets me going.
Yeah, yes. No, Clement. I enjoyed your little dig at me then over my remark. So we give you a bonus point for your cleverness there. But, Lynn, it was a correct challenge, and you have 2 seconds only. A man after my own heart, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is definitely...
So Lynn Ferguson kept going until the whistle went, and I wish I could give you a bonus point for your lovely compliment, but I think it would look like nepotism if I did. Therefore, a situation, if you're interested, Paul's still in the lead, strong lead ahead of Lynn Ferguson, second place, 1 point behind Clement Floyd, 2 or 3 training behind Fred McCauley. And Fred, strange subject here for this show, toilet humour. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
For some Scottish comedians, toilet humour involves just shouting out the word, Jobby!
Yeah.
But the funniest thing I've ever seen in a toilet was a bit of graffiti in a service station toilet just outside Stirling, which said, I want to have sex with Tina Turner, and it was followed by a phone number. Which I've got to say is possibly the most optimistic thing I have ever encountered in my life. Imagine some poor guy sitting in Stirling answering the phone.
Clement Challenge.
Reputation of Stirling.
Of Stirling, I'm afraid, yes. You could have chosen another town, but it was too bad.
But it was Stirling. Is it factually correct? I know from the phone number.
Yeah.
And it's always engaged.
Mm. 31 seconds, Clement. Another correct challenge to you. Toilet humour starting now.
In a public convenience in Oban, where the door is about 10 inches from the floor, I saw written at the bottom, beware limbo dancers.
Fred, you challenged.
I think it was hesitation with unless that's actually what was written.
No, I think he was struggling for the payoff to that particular joke. And he did So we're back with you, Fred. 20 seconds on toilet humour, if you can, starting now.
One of my kids amused me once when he was sitting in the toilet singing...
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Because the last one wasn't amusing.
A little while ago, Clement, you had this audience in the palm of your hand. You've lost them all now. Sorry. No, Fred, an incorrect challenge. Toilet humour still with you, and 16 seconds, starting now.
He was young at the time, sitting on the toilet, and as was the case in those days, we had to be in the room with him whilst what he was doing took part.
Lynn challenge.
He did hesitate.
Don't say so apologetically, my love.
Yeah. Well, I was quite into it. I was liking it. I was wondering if you got any points for interrupting a fight as well, because I looked like that was going to happen too.
But if you sat back and just enjoyed everybody's contribution, we'd never contribute anything, would you, my love?
But it is quite tempting, I have to say, because people are interesting, you know, and you get caught, and I don't mind the repetition. I quite like it.
Right.
I do.
Lynn. Toilet humour is the subject, and you have 8 seconds, starting now.
I don't find toilets very humorous. I find public toilets quite scary. Quite.
Paul challenged.
It was I find.
I find.
Oh.
I find.
Was it?
Yes. So, Paul, you got in on toilet humour with 3 seconds to go, starting now.
If you walk into the gen...
Lynn challenge.
Deviation from the subject. You don't walk in a toilet. You were just walking into the toilet there. I could have...
Well, you going in on your stomach?
So I don't know. I was chancing it. I've never played the game, and I thought everybody else was interrupting. I'm going to try. So I tried.
Yeah, but darling, if you do it on a legitimate challenge.
I know, but I'll do that the next time. I just thought I'd test.
Paul, 2 seconds available. Toilet humour starting now.
There was a certain type of comedian who...
Right. So Paul Merton, speaking again as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead at the end of the round. Actually, I've just heard we're into the final round.
Oh,
what a wonderful reaction. You are lovely. Let me give you the situation as we move into the final round. Fred McCauley, who has played with great success in the past, but he's trailing a little in fourth place. Clement Floyd's in second place, 1 point ahead is Lynn Ferguson, and a few points ahead is Paul Merton. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is temptation. Tell us something about temptation in just a minute, starting now.
Temptation is a thing to be avoided at times because you can be tempted into dark, lonely passages of the soul where you find yourself
living on your own, perhaps, in an attic at the top of a house. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve looked at each other and she said to him, oh, I've just had an apple from a snake. He said, what did you do that for? She said, well, it was so tempting what he offered me. He said we could have the powers of God himself. And the gentleman she was talking to was amazed by this. He said, oh, what have you done? That's terrible. We've been thrown out of the garden. She said, are we?
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of garden.
Yes, you had the
it
garden.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
That's the...
So the Garden of Eden, and then the garden came back. So, Clement, 25 seconds available. Tell us something about temptation starting now.
There is a temptation to talk about the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve and the apple serpent...
Paul Challenge.
He's doing my material.
That is a temptation.
It is.
Clement gets a point, and we give him a bonus point because we enjoyed his comment. 18 seconds, temptation still with you, Clement, starting now.
Buying material which has been used by Paul Merton is becoming increasingly less expensive. I went recently to a shop where some of the very best speeches which they had for sale were...
Fred Chance.
I think there was a hesitation there.
I think there was a hesitation.
Really?
Yes, yes. It was teetering, but I think I'll give the benefit of the doubt.
The benefit of the doubt.
Yes. The benefit of the doubt goes to Fred Macaulay.
Ah.
And we're going to hear from him on this final round with 4 seconds to go on Temptation, Fred, starting now.
Finding myself in this programme with Clement with 4 seconds left to go on...
Let me give you the final score. Fred Macaulay, coming back from previous triumphs on radio, did extraordinarily well, finished in a magnificent fourth place. And he only finished 2 points behind Lynn Ferguson, who's never played the game before. Fantastic third place. She was 2 points behind the man who's played it a lot. But out in the lead, ahead of the others, it was a strong lead. It's Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. Right, thank you. It only remains me to say thank you to these 4 fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Lynn Ferguson and Fred Macaulay. I thank Sarah Sharp, who sat beside me, blowing her whistle with great aplomb. And we thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here at the Pleasance at the Festival Fringe, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From me, Nicholas Parsons, and our audience, and our players, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.